Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on what day is today? Wednesday evening. You for Thursday morning, y'all will be hearing this shortly before Game 6 elimination slash closeout game opportunity for the Golden State Warriors as they look to win their fourth championship in the last decade. Joining me from across the street in TD Garden, where I just got back from, is Tim Bontemps.
Hello, guys.
And joining us from Dallas, Texas, just off of a secret road trip, Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. I just returned from the point in the NBA that is furthest away from the finals.
That could go for a couple of places right now.
Somebody told me that, could this be true? I like geography, but I'm not an expert, that San Francisco, Boston is the two farthest distances. It's the farthest two cities apart on the NBA map. That, you know, I would normally have said Portland.
I would have said Miami. Portland and Miami.
Yeah, that doesn't sound true.
Somebody today told me it's 4 miles further. That doesn't sound like it's possible.
I would be skeptical of that information. I would double check that.
All right. Well, anyway, it's a long way away from each other. The teams had light practices today before the Celtics had their practice. Al Horford said that they addressed their complaining to the officials. And I hope that, Ime Udoka, who got a tech in game five, he apparently was, called on himself that he needs to be better too. I know that there are some calls that are frustrating. I know that there have been some phantom fouls, the Jordan Poole flop the other day with Marcus Smart. I don't know how I feel about that because Marcus Smart flops so much.
Yes. Listen, Marcus Smart has no right to complain about that one.
And he didn't complain.
Yes. Marcus Smart once told me about James Harden. He flops on offense just like I do on defense. It's not like the guy denies that he excels in those arts.
So I'm not saying that they had the right to be mad, but, and by the way, as I was watching some of the replays back, I saw that Ime pulled his mask down and you could see certain words. He maybe should have left his mask up that might have contributed to
you mean his chin strap?
Yeah, he apparently maybe should have kept that mask up so that America couldn't see the word that he said. Bontemps and I talked about this the other night. The Celtics are losing this series and the Warriors are winning it with the Warriors defense and the Celtics offense. The Warriors are being very physical. They are putting matchups together that frustrate the Celtics. Andrew Wiggins is doing a terrific job. Steph Curry is holding his own when they attack him in switches. They are taking advantage of the turnovers, and that is where this series is being decided right now, and quite possibly Bontemps, where Game 6 will be decided.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason after every game and after every practice, Ime Udoka talks about the Celtics offense. He doesn't talk about his defense ever, right? This is an offense. This is, as you said, when the Celtics play well on offense and they don't turn the ball over, they win games. When they don't play well on offense, they turn the ball over, allows the Warriors to get out in transition. Golden State has more points off turnovers through five games than any team since the Chicago Bulls against the Blazers 30 years ago. Jason Tatum has more turnovers than any player in NBA playoff history. The Celtics are 14-2 when they have 15 or fewer turnovers and 0-7 when they have 16 or more. It's all very simple. If the Celtics take care of the ball, there will be a game seven. If they do not, there won't be. It's that you can make it as simple as that.
We've been saying it for weeks now.
It's been true the whole time. Like when they play the way they're capable of playing, they win games. The problem for them is they do it once every three games. And then the other two games, it's an adventure. And that was the case the last two games.
Condition green, yes. Condition gold.
Yeah. That's so it. Steph Curry missing the 9 three pointers the other night.
We try to tell him, Bontemps. We try to tell him he doesn't have to do more.
He was listening to Brian too much, trying too hard.
Wendy psyched him out.
I didn't say he had to do more. I said he could do more. The thing about Steph is, you know, after going 0-for-9, it's kind of like the other night when the Celtics started 0-of-12 and then they ended up making their next 8. You know, on an average night, they're a 40%, you know, 3-point team. Maybe they shoot a little bit less than that. Maybe they shoot like 38%, 37%. But, you know, if I told you that the Celtics were going to shoot 40% on threes in the first three quarters, you'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a good night, yeah, but not outrageous. Well, look,
this is also to your point, Brian. These are the Celtics point, or the Warriors point totals in the series. 108 in a loss, 107 in a win, 100 in a loss, 107 in a win, 104 in a win. You told the Celtics before the series, those are the points they're scoring every game. They'd have been fine with that.
Yeah, they feel like they got a shot. He said it again today.
They, you know, with everything that happened, they still scored 104. But that's my point. The point is, if Steph goes 0-of-9, you know he's not gonna have, you know, bet your percentages on what's gonna happen in the next game. Sure. So you already have that out there, and then you had Steph today saying that he declared himself the petty king because of.
Like his wife, Steph can cook, and he's going to prove it in Boston, huh?
So he said he was the petty king. So I don't know what he's got to be petty about. He shoved it down the Celtics fans' throats the last time he was here.
It's pretty tough to get up on the petty pecking order in the NBA. So the petty king, I'm not sure about that. I do think it was brilliant strategy by Steph, recognizing, hey, I don't need to knock down any threes for us to win this game. So let me just save all my threes for the closeout in Boston, because they needed him to score 43 to win in Boston game 4. So he's like, I'm going to save all my threes for when we go back to Boston and we can close it out. That is another example of these Warriors being light years ahead.
This series is going 7 games. There's no way this Celtics team.
Well, there's a way.
Well, listen, I'm just saying, this Celtics team loves to make everybody's lives miserable to the extent that, as Ime has joked about. Well, this includes the Celtics themselves.
Well, and the Celtics fans.
Just hold on.
Yeah.
Well, too. Ime Udoka has said 50 times over the past 2 months, we always have to do things the hard way. And the Celtics could have won game 4. They could have won game 5. They blew both games. We've talked about the turnovers, everything else that they've done. I don't see any way that they're going to come in here tomorrow and lose this game at home and avoid having everybody having to fly all the way back across the country for game 7 on Sunday. There's also the fact that Golden State always kicks it around the first chance they have to close out one of these games. And it would seem
this
very
true.
Now there's,
this
that's,
is true.
That's a good point. That's
for
a good point. They've
for
lost.
Both teams, yeah. It would be incredibly on brand for Boston to win this game by 20. To send this thing back to the Bay, and then who the hell knows what will happen in game 7. But
yeah, the Warriors have had some pretty epic cases of flatulence when they've had closeout opportunities,
well,
their
I mean,
first
game,
closeout opportunities.
I mean, that game five in Memphis is one of the all-time stinkers in NBA history. I mean, given
yeah,
who was
game,
not playing
game,
for Memphis.
Game five in Memphis when they're, I don't know what the final score was, but they were down like 55 at one point.
I think they lost by 55, yeah.
Whatever it was. Game 4 in Dallas wasn't that big of a disaster, but it certainly was a less than impressive effort.
So, hold on. They had a chance to close out the Nuggets in the first round. Now, it was in Denver. Mm-hmm. They lost by 5, gave up 126 points. Not their finest effort. I don't remember that game. I can look at the box score, but trust me. Then, of course, the game you were at in Memphis, chance to close out in game 5. They lost 134-95.
It's just, transposing you around different places, McMahon.
Yeah.
Then – in Dallas.
Then the game McMahon was actually at.
Yes, there you go.
Not the game he wasn't at.
Right. 109. Sorry, I'm sorry, McMahon. 119 points they gave up that night to the Mavericks. They lost. They lost by 10 to go back. And they were in great shape.
By 10, and they were down like 30 going in the fourth quarter, and made
right.
Like
so a, I'm just, you know, I'm just looking at the 126 to the Nuggets, 134 to Memphis, 119 to Dallas.
I do not
road
think
closeout chances
I,
this year.
And but here's the thing: I think in all of those series, they knew, like, dude, we're gonna win this series, and they were kind of playing with their food. I believe certainly with what's at stake and with the caliber of opponent on the other side, they won't have a whoop that trick type of mail-in effort in Boston. Okay. What's the song of the Celtics?
Geno time.
Okay. I think Draymond's going to be waving the towel in the fourth quarter dancing while the crowd's singing along to that. I'll put it that way. I think they will at least come to play. I'm not guaranteeing they win, but I don't think they're going to have a no-show.
Well, and to be clear, I'm half talking tongue in cheek when I say that, but it is very much in keeping with how this Celtics team has gone through this season to be down 3-2 against the Warriors and win this game tomorrow. I mean, remember, I'm not trying to minimize Golden State. They're a hell of a team. Steph Curry has been incredible in this series. They did go on the road and beat the best player on the planet in his own building in game 6 in the second round. When they went to Milwaukee, beat the Bucks, and Jason Tatum had the best game probably he's ever had and had 46 in that game. So to me, that's a higher bar to clear than this bar. Having to go on the road to beat. Now, I certainly don't trust them to win a close game 7 in Golden State against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I think Golden State's probably going to win that game down the stretch. But tomorrow, I just will be very surprised if the Celtics allow this thing to end, given the way they've handled their whole season. I expect them to come out and play great.
So if you want to try to read the tea leaves and read the forecast, all right,
Golden State. The tea leaves, that's a Boston joke. Go on.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it, but thank you. They Warriors 0-3 in road closeouts. Celtics 3-0 in elimination games. But I will say, as long as we're talking about that, the Celtics have really dropped some home games that have
6-5 at home in the playoffs, Brian.
Wow.
They lost game 5 to Milwaukee at home in a 2-2 series. Terrible loss. I thought it cooked their goose. Didn't.
Lost game 6 at home to Miami.
Wasn't assured that cooked their goose because Jimmy Butler played an incredible game, but
cooking a lot of geese, McMahon.
I was going to say, cook their goose, man.
It is a
you have some 88-year-old grandpa, great-grandpa type of references, man.
You are so right. I am guilty. Guilty as charged on that.
How am I the oldest dude on this podcast?
A lot of times you accuse me of stuff and you're out of line. I'm definitely guilty of old man phrases.
I'm betting on the come, but you got a few more.
Obviously then game 4 in this series, vital important home game. So, you have to acknowledge that they haven't always risen to the occasion with the home crowd. So I agree with Bontemps that it looks like, I booked my flight out to San Francisco more because you can't get seats. They're just hard to fly these days.
But does it go over Nebraska? Can you parachute out if need be?
Do you know that I literally flew directly over the top of downtown Omaha yesterday? I mean, talk about heartbreaking. and not only that, but I was there were still 3 hours left on the flight.
He's the only person on that flight that wanted to parachute.
Just looking out the window going, oh, man, there's Omaha. Let me get out of there.
Oh, look, my mansion. It's
golden,
right there.
Golden city on the hill. Let me get to the pool house and the mansion and get back there and hang out.
The Haba.
And now you're going back to San Francisco for game 7, buddy, because this thing is going to the end.
Well, you know what? If that's going to happen, Jason Tatum might want to have his first signature performance of these finals.
Jason Tatum needs to go listen to McMahon going into game 4 when McMahon was talking him up.
I know, one of the all-time great players. Well, listen, here's what you got to do with that, my whole take there. Get the Sharpie, cross out Jason Tatum, and put in all-star starter Andrew Wiggins, baby. $32 million bargain.
Wiggins. Did you listen to the pod the other night, by the way, the post-game pod?
Yeah, I did listen to the pod.
Did you hear the shout-out?
Well, I did, and I felt also really left out. It was also, to me, it's like you're eating a dry brisket sandwich. There's the bread. There's the meat. Y'all didn't have the sauce. Wasn't any spice. The flavor wasn't there. But
I don't think we wanted to call you at 1 a.m. or whatever godforsaken time that was when we were doing that pod, local time for you.
Well, look.
Yeah.
you know, with all due respect, I just should say Bontemps wasn't scheduled. It was like, who was the guy who would come on the Tonight Show when
it was like if Juan Toscano-Anderson ends up playing crunch time, like, you know, something's gone wrong for Steve Kerr.
There was a lot of foul trouble in the game. No question.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
But to your point, in all seriousness, like, this is Jason Tatum's moment, right? Everybody came into this series. Mm-hmm. It was Steph Curry versus Jason Tatum, you know, star, mano a mano. Steph Curry has played, you know, incredibly in this series. He's had one of the best playoff series he's ever had. Game four is probably the best game of his entire career. When you consider everything you put together there, mm-hmm. with the moment, the performance he had, everything else. And Jason Tatum has just flat out not been very good. I know in game five, you know, like we talked about the other night, the numbers looked okay. He just wasn't impactful.
If you looked at the box score, you could almost say that Tatum outplayed Steph Curry in that game.
Right. Which, if you watch the game, you would not think, because Steph was directed traffic on offense. It's why they didn't turn the ball over. I think he had 8 assists and 1 turnover in the game. He had all the attention on him. So Wiggins is getting clean looks and he's knocking him down. Like, you know, Steph is there. Whenever Steph's on the court, every eyeball is on him.
Though Steph goes 0 of 9 for 3, and he took a couple of, you know, really slinger shots, but you're never going to dissuade him
because it's Steph Curry.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. But just his, you know, I hate to sound like somebody smarter than me, but, you know, Steph's gravity, the attention that he draws, opens up stuff for guys like Wiggins.
I definitely everything. Thought you were going to come with more than a 3-syllable word when you said somebody smarter than you. I thought I was going to have to look that one up, and I know what that means.
Yeah. Well, in the Celtics,
I might not know much about screen navigation, Wendy. Speaking of taking shots at me when I'm not on. Golly.
Well, listen.
You're never far from our mind when you're not there.
you're fondly missed, McMahon. But no, look, like it all goes back to the turnovers, but, you know, look, Jaylen Brown stunk in game five. Jason Tatum, his numbers are deceiving in terms of how good his performance was.
Well, Tatum's getting outplayed by Wiggins, and that cannot happen for the Celtics.
No, I mean, look, it's those guys in particular, Tatum. Like I said, Jason Tatum, game six against Milwaukee, had the game of his life. It would be a good time to come close to matching that performance here and really enter this series for the first time instead of being okay and like,
yeah,
it's one thing to play hard on defense all the time and always be able to make an impact on that end, unlike some of these other guys. But you go back and look at some of these other guys through the playoffs, Luka, Giannis, some of these other guys, like Tatum's had a few performances like that. Yeah. He's had a lot of duds, especially in this series.
Discussed a little bit, Ime Udoka admitted that he thought that maybe fatigue was a factor in the fourth quarter. Now, keep in mind that the Celtics have played 2 7-game series. We're now deep into it. Even though these guys are young.
I was going to say, it's the factor for the 20-somethings, not the 30-somethings.
Ime messed that game up. Like, obviously, the Celtics made that huge run in the third, but he rode those guys way too long in the second half. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he had Jaylen and Jason in there the entire game. I don't buy the fatigue thing overall. Like Tatum's legs were clearly
not the entire game. Tatum, they both played 40.
I meant the entire second half. Right, yeah. You're right. But Tatum's legs were clearly shot in that fourth quarter. I mean, he had no lift. All his shots were short. He had a couple air. Like his legs were gone. And some of that is on Ime's got to get them out earlier. But part of that is because they should have been down 25 in the first half, and we're somehow only down 12, and then they go on that run to immediately start the third quarter, and they're right there. So, of course, he mirrored those guys, because what choice did he have? They had to try to win that game.
And look, there's nothing – they're not going to, like, go to the bench and, like, start playing more guys. One thing that has hurt the Celtics a lot in this series is that they've just gotten nothing out of Grant Williams. Grant Williams just – he was a real factor early.
I was going to say, he had a great game. Was it game three, I think? Yeah.
Or no, game three. It was game three. It was game three. And the other guys all hit shots. It hadn't happened. Yeah, the other guys also hit shots in game one. And what does that come back to? Both Grant Williams and Al Horford have been neutralized by Steph Curry, because those guys could stay out there in front of Jimmy Butler to some degree and Giannis Antetokounmpo to some degree and Kevin Durant to some degree. And Al Horford's on skates when Steph's out there. Grant has been completely turned around when Steph's out there, and they're just hunting them. And that's really hurt Boston. They don't have those guys they can lean on to play, you know, 25, 30 minutes and play well when they're struggling. I mean, we were talking about last game, Brian. I don't remember what the plus minus for Al Horford was, but Robert Williams was plus six in 31 minutes, and the Celtics got demolished the other 17 minutes. And that was when Horford was out there. It was like minus 19 or something.
I think Williams was even better than that.
I might be off on those numbers.
Yeah, I think you're shortchanging him. I think
pull it up here quick. Williams was plus 11 in 30 minutes. Al Horford is minus 13 in 33 minutes. Minus 19, I should say. That's just not that.
That's tough math when they were on the floor for at least some of those minutes together.
It's just really tough.
It's hard with Robert Williams' knee condition. It's just hard. He played 30 minutes.
I asked Robert Williams after game five. He played 30 minutes and he played.
That's the most he's played.
He played more than 30 in game four. And I asked him, after game five, if his knee was feeling better as the series went along. He said it was. So I actually have gotten to the point now where I'm expecting him to play 30 minutes and be good. But the thing is, you can't play Robert Williams 45 minutes, right? Like he can maybe play 32, 33, maybe, but you're not ramping him up to 40. So no matter what they do, the Celtics have to get through those 15, 16 minutes when he's not on the court. And as we've talked about a bunch, he's been their best player in this series when he's been healthy, which is now four of the five games. And when he's not out there, it's a five-alarm fire. And they got to somehow change that in game six and potentially a game seven if they want to win this series.
Yeah, although defensively, on balance, again, I don't think that's where they're losing it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's where they're losing it.
But I do think it is messing those guys up on offense, because they're in their heads on defense and then they're missing shots and everything is screwed up. It is all about the offense, but it doesn't help the cause when you feel like you can't have Grant Williams out there as much and you don't want to have Al Horford out there as much because their defense has been as bad as it's been on Steph.
Also, I think they should, I don't know the answer to this, but in the film review, Andrew Wiggins just had the two best rebounding games of his career.
Yes.
In the NBA Finals.
Coming off of them getting absolutely dominated on the glass in the game three loss.
So maybe box him out.
Wouldn't be a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That now needs to be a game plan point. Wiggins has always been a guy who has great athleticism that sometimes shows and sometimes vanishes. He's never been a great rebounder. He's had great rebounding stretches, but his rebounding has been a weapon. They need to treat him like the weapon that he is. And I think his rebounding has been a huge factor.
Board man gets paid. He's getting paid. He's a board man. Come on now.
Well, and we go back to, again, the possession game, right? The turnovers are a key thing, because if the Celtics win the possession game, they're going to win the game. Like that's what it comes down to. Golden State has to win the hustle points to try to win the possession game. Boston had 8 offensive rebounds to 4 in game 5. But to your point, Brian, 12 defensive rebounds for Andrew Wiggins. If he gets 8, the Celtics get another 4 offensive rebounds, 4 extra possessions. That's a huge, or 4 extra shots. That's a huge swing in their favor.
It's especially big because they're playing one big lineups, which a lot of times that one big is Draymond, who is a good rebounder, but Draymond's not, he's not like some kind of dominant glass eater type of guy. So they really need Wiggins to rebound like this. Wendy, I believe that your SportsCenter appearance caused some sore posteriors among the Warriors fan base. when you called this a checkbook win. Do you want to, you know, extend any olive branches or soothe any hurt feelings by a team that has a chance to win its fourth title in 8 years?
For some reason, that was deemed as an insult that they have been able to pay all their players.
It's a credit to Joe Lacob.
Yeah.
And it's a credit to the front office for, in some cases, identifying, developing guys who are worth paying big money. And then, you know, it's been talked about a lot, the risk they took in terms of finances and otherwise to get D'Angelo Russell and parlay him into Andrew Wiggins is paid off massively here.
And like, they don't have a bad contract. Is that a fair statement?
No, because Wiggins was the bad contract, and that is certainly not the case.
I mean, you can argue they're two bad contracts at this point, or Clay and Draymond, frankly.
Right. Yeah. In terms of
you're not getting rid of them. I'm just saying, to your point, like those are the ones that you look at and say, like, I don't know. And you're always going to have those are deals they're going to do 100 times out of 100.
But you know, on the flip side, Boston has some big time bargain contracts. We've talked about Tatum not being a supermax as a bargain. You know, Jaylen Brown not even being a fun max. Robert Williams at a, you know, certainly I would call that a team friendly. And I understand why the number is what it is, given where he was and all that. But the one thing that I don't like is, it's not fair. The Warriors can do that. Because here's my thing to any NBA owner who feels like we can't spend to keep a championship team together, build champ. Okay. I have a simple solution to that. Sell your franchise. Make a ridiculous profit, make a $1 billion+ profit, and take your yacht and watch the finals from some cool ocean across the world.
Well, I think the thing is, a Sports Center hit isn't the time for nuance.
Well, you know what I told you about nuance last time? Nuance sucks.
Yeah. So
you'll listen to me at some point.
You know, the thing is, like, most teams, if they had to go through two lottery years, would not keep a payroll the way theirs was.
Yeah, they wouldn't have kept Kevon Looney, for example. They would have sold him off to save $20 million instead of keeping him.
And they have some interesting decisions this summer with a Kevon Looney, with a Otto Porter,
Gary Payton, Jordan Poole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins extension, all those things.
Right. So, you know, they not only kept their players, they you know, and extended them. They continued to spend on other salaries. And so during that time, they sold 5% of the team for a value, I think it was in the $275 million range. And they sold a piece of the arena. I think it was, I'm ballparking because I don't have it right in front of me. I think it was in the $200 million range. So they raised basically in the neighborhood of $500 million. If it's not quite $500 million, I apologize, but they raised that money to be able to take on losses, financial losses, during this end of Steph Curry's prime. You know, they signed him to this contract. They're in the repeater tax. Mm-hmm. Their payroll this year is $346 million when you include the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. Not many franchises would sell equity in their team.
Yeah, and they should be applauded for that, not criticized, applauded. You have an all-time great in Steph Curry. Because you have him, you have a championship window. You should be applauded for being willing to go as all in as they have to keep that window open, and they're being rewarded for it.
Right. And so my point was, when you play the Warriors, not only do you have to face Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green, you got to face their financial might. And their financial might said that even when, you know, because Kevin Durant walks, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant walks and Klay Thompson is out for the next year. You don't know it's for 2 years, but you know he's going to miss a year. They didn't have to make a deal for D'Angelo Russell that led to Wiggins. Mm-hmm. But they spent the money. They lost as much money as anybody in the pandemic because that was the arena was closed to fans as long as anybody. And that building is their building. You know, they spent all that.
And the ticket prices are pretty steep.
Yeah, for sure. And so that building, you know, the Chase Center is a weapon because it can have so much, create so much revenue. So that's what I was saying. Like when you face the Warriors, you got to face their checkbook too. It's not the number one thing, but you got to face their checkbook. That's a reality. And you know, keeping Andrew Wiggins and getting Andrew Wiggins and paying Andrew Wiggins. Cause I was just saying, like, you know, Wiggins has been great. And for a guy who's up and down in his career, for him to deliver, to have an up moment, in this potentially the most important time in his career, it's a great story. But it's not an underdog story.
You know what? In some ways, though, the Warriors are an underdog story, just in the fact that this is a dynasty. I don't know if I'm going to say they're underdog because obviously the KD thing, but in terms of the three guys who have been there for the whole run, none of those guys were, you know, what was Steph, the seventh pick? Clay, I think 11, Draymond.
7, 11, and 35.
Yep. Like, you don't build that's not the way you expect to build a dynasty. The only number one.
Yeah, that's pick, what Bob Myers, the general manager, has pushed back on this concept of them spending their way.
I had a chat with Bob Myers about it today.
Starting your own small business can be a total roller coaster. Between all the ups and downs, twists and turns, and highs and lows comes the actual business side of your business, which can really throw you for a loop. Luckily, with QuickBooks, you can get paid, run payroll, and know where your business stands from the start. So no matter how bumpy the ride gets, you can always stay on track. New business? No problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com. QuickBooks payroll, QuickBooks payments, and QuickBooks online account required. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. You know, his pushback on it is we are just paying the guys that we drafted. It's not like we went out and signed everybody in free agency. However, you did sign somebody in free agency. Yeah.
Listen, no. Other than the KD guy. Yeah.
And his point is more even than that. It's just that it's what McMahon said before, right? You can do the same thing if you want. It's a
homegrown dynasty.
No one's saying that they're breaking any rules.
Well, no,
they're playing by the rules.
Right. The thing that's interesting,
pushing the rules to the max.
Well, that's
a lot of owners aren't willing to do that. Owners aren't willing to spend that kind of money.
And that right there is why it's a story, because Steve Ballmer with the Clippers and Joe Lacob with the Warriors, Steve Ballmer, because he has more money than God, and Joe Lacob, because he has built a gigantic ATM machine in San Francisco that is pumping out money. And to his credit, he's, like you said, McMahon, he's got Steph Curry. He's got an all-time great team. Mm-hmm. Joe Lacob is one of the most competitive owners in the league. He wants to win all the time. Full credit to him for it. He's investing money in the team. He's spending money to have his team be as good as possible. But there's teams looking around saying, I don't know if we can keep up with that. And that is the thing over the next 6 months that's going to be fascinating, because in these CBA negotiations, it's not like it's the players versus the owners on this one. This is owners versus owners on this one.
Well, yeah.
Where that shakes out is going to be interesting.
The last time that this was an issue, when the Miami Heat put together the big three, the owners pushed back and they put in the graduated luxury tax, where the more you spend, the more it costs you. And so the concept was that even though there was never going to be a hard cap on how much you could spend, they were going to make it so penal that, you know, essentially would become a hard cap. Well, here we are now a decade later, and the Warriors are paying roughly as much in tax as they are for salary. So yes, they are. They are. It is not being penal to them.
I would be, if I am especially a small market owner, I would be very concerned about punishing teams for paying their own homegrown stars. You know, and again, that's a sin. Now, the Wiggins thing is addition, but he's the only number one pick on the, I believe the only, they've got, correct me if I'm wrong, there's three top three picks. One, James Wiseman is wearing sweatpants and waving a towel.
Otto Porter.
Otto Porter's on a minimum. It's going to be really, his summer will be very interesting because I think there'll be some, you know, demand for him. And then the other one is Wiggins. But like, the fact that the reason that they are such a high payroll team is primarily because they drafted three Hall of Famers and have kept them there their entire careers.
And I will say this, it could have been worse because Klay Thompson didn't get the Supermax.
Yeah.
I can't remember how close he was on all NBA.
I remember him being awfully disappointed when he didn't get it. And
he was disappointed.
Like he was disrespected.
You know, he said it wasn't about the money, and I would probably say it wasn't all about the money.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's not an insult, but it is a reality. You know, now we'll say this, just because you spend the most money doesn't mean you're going to win. The last time.
Ask the Nets, ask the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nets, are the other one in the top four.
The Nets weren't too far behind the Warriors this year.
Yeah. And they almost beat the Celtics in one playoff game.
Well, look, this is like everything else. The last few years, the team that's won the title has either been under the tax or at the tax, right? And the fact that the Warriors
winning. How far into the tax were the Raptors in 19? They were a tax team, right?
Well, they are a little bit, a few million dollars, not way in. I mean, But the difference is now these guys have won. And so now it's a thing, especially in light of the CBA talks. It's just something to look at. And that was why it was funny that all these Warrior fans got mad at what you said, because it really, to me, it is a credit to the Warriors and to Joe Lacob. Like, this team is doing what you want every team to do. Like, it's, you know, it's a credit to Joe that he's willing to spend the money and do this in a way that, like McMahon said, most of these other owners are just, other than really Ballmer, and I guess Joe Tsai now, have not really shown an interest in being willing to do.
Seriously, like, well, here's the thing. Like, when the Yankees, I mean, the Yankees outspend almost everybody every year. I guess the Dodgers are outspending.
Now it's the Dodgers, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, when the Yankees were beating the A's in the playoffs, and like, I'm sorry if I don't have the exact correct scenario, you have to give me some leeway. But like, if the Yankees number four starter gave up four hits over eight innings and led the Yankees to a 4-1 win over the A's in the playoffs, I know they played in the playoffs a few times. It wasn't like the Yankees then had to go say, sorry that we're paying our number four starter more than you pay anybody on your roster, but we're still trotting them out there. That's life.
Well, but in baseball, they're like in basketball, they're all at least operating by the same rules.
Yes,
the Warriors are just willing to take financial.
Right. I'm just saying that when the Yankees are winning those championships, you don't say, "Oh, you know, that championship wasn't deserved."
The Warriors will probably buy like a gold-plated banner.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't mean that the championship is any lesser, but when the Yankees would beat the A's, you knew that there was a difference in the payroll. And by the way, the Yankees developed Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera. They're just paying their own guys, right? I mean, so, you know, that's the thing. And like, you know, you guys know my theory about winning a championship. When you win the championship, it means never having to say you're sorry. So I don't care. Ultimately, who cares what the payroll is? The banner will be just as bright.
Brian Windhorst cares. That's why I brought it up.
No, I don't
Brian Windhorst cares.
Listen, I always enjoy when Wendy's trending on Twitter.
I just, how many times do SportsCenter hits trend on Twitter? Doesn't happen very often.
Listen, wow, sounds like should be a checkbook win for Wendy. Sounds like they need
there
to
you go. You
know, break out the bank.
Yeah.
Hey, send one of those Bristol Brinks trucks from Connecticut to
by the way, just because something trends on Twitter doesn't mean that it's relevant in real life. But
now you're saying you're not relevant? Come on, Brian. Come on. We know you're relevant.
You're the brisket in this sandwich, baby.
Most of Twitter. Most of Twitter is vapid, but you know, it doesn't have anything to do with how game six is going to play out. It's just that if you've got if you're like on an average day, not this series, because on an average day, Andrew Wiggins is the Warriors' fourth best player, third best player.
Yeah. Third or fourth.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
And it's nice to have a max guy. All-star starter Andrew Wiggins is your third or fourth best player.
It could very easily, the Celtics' third best player, whoever that is, if that's Marcus Smart or whomever, that could be, he could be the star of game six. You know, that it's the nature of it. So I would say a factor, you know, before we go here, to me, I'm going to pay close attention. Obviously, we're going to pay close attention to the turnovers and that number as it goes. But don't you think, Bontemps, that the Celtics need to play from ahead, considering what has happened to them in crunch time? They did finally win a third quarter, but don't you think they need to play from ahead?
No question. McMahon laid this out very nicely the other day when, you know, the Celtics, if this is a 5-point game with 5 minutes to go, Boston, it's hard for you to look at this objectively and think Boston's got much of a chance of winning the game. And as I said on the Game 5 preview pod, I turned Adam Himmelsbach from the Globe with a 1-point game with 5 minutes to go in Game 4 and said this game's over. Like, the Celtics have played terribly in these moments time and time and time again. So, yeah, I think they need to get off to a good start tomorrow, need to get the crowd behind them, need to be feeling good, need to get out in open air. When they get like that and they play in their system and they take care of the ball and they get comfortable, they look really, really, really good. When they don't, when they start to force stuff, when Jaylen Brown starts saying, hey, the team's struggling, I got to put it on my shoulders, Tatum starts trying to draw fouls, Marcus Smart starts trying to, you know, throw crazy behind the back passes all over the place, that's when the Celtics start to let the Warriors get out in open air. That's when Steph starts getting open threes. That's when all this stuff starts happening. Because again, go back to Game 3, Celtics win pretty comfortably. Game 4, Celtics dominated most of the game. It took an all-time performance from Steph to win. So Boston's going to walk in here tomorrow feeling like they can win this game. And what they don't want to do is let the Warriors start to smell it. Because if they do, and you're talking about a 2-3-point game with 5-6 minutes to go, sign me up on Team Steph, because I'm going to trust him to carry it home and get this thing done.
I considered several different jokes off of smelling it, but I'm just going to pass.
You're growing up at your ripe old age. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. We'll talk to you after the game. Should be with Zach Lowe. If Zach doesn't big time me, it could happen.
Dang, Bomb Temps, you got fired after one post game.
Listen, I was the ninth place fill-in.
It wasn't ninth, but
it was a lot closer to ninth than it was to first, but we got it done.
We did. We got it done. Thank you, Bontemps. Thank you, McMahon. Thank you to our producers. We'll talk to you after game six. Will it be well after game six because there was a championship ceremony? I don't know. We'll find out.
Adios, amigos.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.